I am invisible. How about that? Mm-hmm. You look like you're looking at me. You think you're seeing me, but you don't see who I really am. You just see this shell here that I'm living in. I am the spiritual man, the reality person. You don't even see it all. You don't know what's going on in the inner self of me. Now, last night in our out-of-body experience, we talked about our energy body. And we talked about that body that can go anywhere and do anything, and that can be seen or that cannot be seen as we choose. Because the energy body is just as seeable as anything else. Now, what did we also call the energy body? We called it our archetypal body, which is the perfect body that we selected for ourselves as we were having these experiences. And it doesn't have to be only on this dimension. And it isn't a matter of being born again. It's a matter that all is, well, see, this is where the big trouble comes. We say, it's another lifetime, another experience. And that's fine. If by another lifetime, you mean another lifetime is being lived right now at the same moment this lifetime is being lived. That's hard to say. Because you think another lifetime means that it was like back in the 1800s when we weren't here in the present 1900 time. Or it was back in the 1700s. Or maybe forward in the 2300s, you know. Or 3600 or 9200. And we say, you know, well, what is all that about? Well, if we truly believe, and we protest that we do, if we truly believe that all time is now and all space is here, then there can be no reincarnation, there can be no other lifetimes separate from this of other dimensions of time and space. It can only be that we are living all of our lifetimes intermixed with one another, you know, we don't even see it. There are bodies within bodies within bodies. No. People who see out of body, they see rather UFOs, what are they seeing? They're seeing another dimension of time and space. And little children who have friends they talk to, they're seeing another dimension of time and space. We give the little joke, and we try to pretend that it is a joke. And the little boy's got his nose pressed against the window waiting for his mom and dad to come home with the new baby. And he said, Mom, I want to see the new baby. And Mom says, well, okay. Not quite sure. He wants to see her alone. So he goes in there into the crib. And he said to this little newborn, quick, tell me, before they make you forget, what's God like? And this is what we do. We forget what we are like, what our divine self is. We forget it because we let ourselves be programmed into being human beings. Now, wouldn't it be nice if we had a school of divine beings? And if every child that came on the planet would first take a school of being a divine being, which would not be very difficult, because the child is already a divine being. But he would not be taught to be a human being. Now, maybe after he's 7, or after he's 12, or whatever, then you can teach him to be a human being, but then it's too late. Because he's already a divine being, and he's already fantastic, and he already loves unconditionally everybody. And he's already harmonious with everything on the earth, and so, what's there to train? We want to train people to regiment them to be what we want them to be, not necessarily to be as fantastic as they are. Now, what has that got to do with being invisible? Well, the invisible part of us is that perfect part of us. The invisible part of us is that part that doesn't push itself on anybody, doesn't force itself on anybody. It just exists wonderfully and easily. And that would be kind of fun to express, wouldn't it? It would be kind of fun to be our invisible self. Not because we can't be seen by others, but because in that level of invisible existence, is our purest and our finest and our best. On that level of pure existence is our reality. Now, are you ready for that reality? Hmm? Are you ready for that reality? Now, it looks like he's going to jump up. But he really doesn't want to jump up. He wants me to hold on to it and shake it while he's playing with it. And if you can't get me to do it, you're going to try to get Button to do it. And so he's working on Button. Now, how do I know all that stuff? He didn't say anything. He's just a dog. And I listened to what he had in his heart. And I listened to his body actions, his motions, and his fun. And here he goes again, having all sorts of interesting experiences. Now, what are we doing? What kind of experiences are we having? Would we like to live on our invisible level? Would we like to live in the awareness of our divine beingness and the awareness of our divine reality? Or would we like to just continue living as a human being? Well, if we want to continue living as a human being, then we can do so, and we will do so, and we will never know our invisible self. We will never know our divine self, because we'll be so busy, so satisfied, and so fulfilled with being a human being, and being satisfied emotionally, being satisfied mentally, being satisfied spiritually, if you want to call it that, physically, in every possible way. This is what each of us have decided to do, in a large part. And that's why we express ourselves as we do. But when we want that invisible side of us, when we want our invisible reality, then we have to stop looking for outer reaction responses. We have to stop looking for people to say, oh, hello, how are you? I worked with you in the School of the Master on that, from the point of view that you were the only person here. Perhaps me and you, but you were the only person here that had any consequence. And you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. You couldn't close the door in front of somebody else walking behind you. You couldn't just make something for yourself to eat and not give somebody else something to eat. You could not conceive of yourself as being the only person on the face of the earth, which is terrific. But I mean, that's just a small token of development of your consciousness into your invisible and your reality domain. Now, do you want to experience that? If you want to experience it, practice it. Go around the path saying, I'm invisible, I'm invisible, I'm invisible to yourself. Say, I am divine, I am spiritual, I am divine, I am invisible. And watch. Animals will walk right by you and won't even know you're there. And if an animal walks by you and doesn't know you're there, it has a great sensitivity. The Maxwell dogs are always barking when I'm way down just at the mailbox area coming onto the path. That's a lot. And soon they won't be doing that. And as I came back from the first time around, I looked over and I saw a light up on the hill. And I thought maybe it was a few of our Mexican friends working their way across the border. But then I saw the light flashing back and forth across the hillside, and I knew it was the Border Patrol looking for one of our Mexican friends working their way across the border. And they were there the longest time. All the time from when I was by the retreat here to walk up in the mountain here and then down to the embassy. All that time they were flashing their lights around, flashing their lights, and I blessed them. And I saw that they were surrounded by beautiful beings and beautiful circumstances, and all their world is in pure divine order. And it's a good little experience. But you see, the Mexicans were invisible to the Border Patrol because they didn't want to leave a trace. Now, why was he up there at that point? It was like maybe a quarter mile beyond the Rancho Paradiso. And the lights were on at the Rancho Paradiso, very bright. In fact, every light was lit. And the Border Patrol man was up there doing his thing. But the Mexican was invisible. Now, why was the Mexican invisible? Perhaps he wasn't even there. But why was he invisible? Because he wants to come through and do what he wants to do. He is so brazen and so confident in himself, nobody sees me. He walks right on through. Others are, oh dear, they'll find, oh, I'm so frightened, you know. They get caught. They get caught. But anytime you are one with yourself, you are invisible. You are free of everything. Now, that's not totally the invisibility we're talking about here, But it is an invisible attitude, and it's part of the game that you play. It's just like when Patrick and Jan didn't want to go to the service, they wanted to stay on the ranch and do things with me, and they knew that their number might be called. I said, well, just see yourself invisible. Oh, come on now, we can't do that. That's cheating, and that's this and that. No, it's not. If they go through the records and just happen to slide over your name, because they slide over lots of names. They don't choose everybody. Because if they chose everybody, it'd be quite full in their ranks, you know. But they just go along and they grab a few. They say, we'll skip the S's this time, you know, or whatever. And so they weren't called. And they knew it was their time to be called. So, you see, when we choose to be invisible, we can. Even for such a mundane thing as not going into service. And it's not that they didn't want to serve their country. It's just that they had other things they were working on. They didn't want to be disturbed while they were doing it. And they weren't. But you have the opportunity to always be in charge. You have the opportunity to always be aware of your invisible self. How can you be invisible? I am invisible. How can you say I'm invisible when you are definitely touchable and you're seeable and so forth? But just, if you think that's impossible, think of yourself walking in a crowd of people. And you're going in this crowd of people, and your mother happens to be walking on the same side of the street virtually, but, you know, away from you. And you go on something. You look, hi, Ma! You know. You didn't know she was there, but you were just, your vibrations called you to it. Now, if your mother had different vibrations, you wouldn't have been called. If your mother's vibrations were that she is the pure white light of love, and she is independent, and she's free of all demands upon her, you wouldn't even see her. You'd be walking right next to her, and you'd be deep in your concentration, your mom would be deep in hers, you wouldn't see yourself at all. But if you're human, and if you're thinking, then you're giving out emanations, you're giving out your charisma, and your charisma is known. It's just like a lamb or a calf or any type of animal. They bond with their mother. When they're born, the mother licks all the stuff off of them and nuzzles them on the nose and puts her body all over him, so the little calf or the lamb or whatever it is knows its mother. And then the lamb or calf is off in the other field over there, and it's feeding time. The boy is hungry. And so he runs to his mommy, picking her out of, say, 1,000 sheep. 1,000 sheep, running right straight to her. Now, they all look alike. Sheep always look alike. White people always look alike. Black people always look alike. You know, how can they ever figure out who's who? And so they run right to it because they're bonded. They know their mother. And this is what lions do. This is what all animals do. They bond with their children. Now, do we bond? Sure we do. We bond with our parents, we bond with our life, we bond with our world. And because we bond, we're not invisible. If the mother had not bonded with the child, the calf would never know where its mama cow was, would it? It wouldn't know where to go. The little lamb would look at the herd of 1,000 sheep and say, Mama! And Mama wouldn't understand because she never bonded with them. So, when there's no bonding, you are invisible. And nobody cares about the little calf who doesn't have a bonding, who doesn't have a mother. And the little calf dies because it's invisible. It's out there, but doesn't belong to anybody. It's not important. When do you want to be invisible? When would you like to experience invisibility? Would you like to walk in town and not have your clothes on and have no one see you and no one be disturbed by you? Would you like to go into the movie theater and just sit down and see a movie without paying because nobody sees you there? Would you like to go in the grocery store and pick up groceries and have them without anybody seeing you and just take them home? No, you don't want any of that stuff. That's being dishonest.